Happy Easter. Towards the end of the programme, you'll be invited to participate enthusiastically in a response. That won't be the only participation which the congregation will be involved in, but I just want to give us a wee rehearsal. From the front, the proclamation is "The Lord is risen," and then the response from the audience is "He has risen indeed," and the response is a noisy one. So we're going to try that now. I'll make the proclamation, and I want to hear the quality and the volume of your response. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's not bad. Thank you. And that will be part. That little response will be part of our worship as matters proceed today. Welcome to West Glasgow New Church and to this Easter reflection and celebration. Now, it's not much of a celebration when there's no children here, you'll be thinking. And the children will... Well, I overheard that. Somebody said, yes, it is. The children will... They are having their own programme and they will be joining us a bit later to show us the product of their endeavours, which I am told is a biscuit tomb. Biscuit tomb. So the children will come in a bit later to join us at the appropriate point. So that's why they're not with us today. But we'll all be together to proclaim the risen Lord together towards the end of this service. One announcement. Rhoda Reid apparently has bingo on Monday of tomorrow and the following Monday, and so the ladies' prayer meeting is not happening, even although your yellow newsletter says there is a ladies' prayer meeting. Don't come to pray because you won't be admitted. We had planned some candles to be lit and moved around as part of this service, but it was pointed out to us at the last minute that they would set off the smoke detectors. So that's not happening. You see these daffodils here? There will be opportunity to move these, and your participation to do a bit of that will be part of what you'll be asked to do. This programme should proceed with the minimum of interference from myself. I'm not going to pop up like a yo-yo and announce each element. It should proceed reasonably smoothly. That's to say, those who know when they're on next will be on next. The first song we're going to sing together, and when we sing as a congregation, you'll take the lead to stand to sing from our two microphone singers here. When you see them stand, you know you should stand too. And our first song is "Jesus is Lord." After that, there will be a prayer from myself, and then I'll retire for a bit from the front.
Proclaims it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe. Jesus is Lord. O'er sin the mighty conqueror, from death he rose, and all his foes shall own his name. Jesus is Lord. God sends his Holy Spirit to show by works of power that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord.
Are you there? Let's pray together. On this happy Easter morning, our Father, we give you thanks for your presence with us and for this company, the friendships that there are in it, and the fellowship we share through seeking to follow the risen Lord. As we give you thanks for a happy day, we know that it is not a happy day for many folks, bereaved or frightened, oppressed, or the victims of terrible trauma, such as in the country of Kenya. And we pray for Christians there and for Christians throughout the world who feel perhaps threatened more than for many a generation, simply because they profess to follow Jesus. And so we give you thanks for the risen Lord, and we pray that his living spirit may be present and that his presence may shine into the darkness that there is abroad in people's hearts and in the world at large. That he has risen, we give you thanks. We pray that we may all gain today the Easter message of hope and of challenge and of new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You've said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed.
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them.
"Crucify him!"
"Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!"
"Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?"
The soldiers led Jesus away to the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. and they began to call out to him,
"Hail, King of the Jews!
Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they'd mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him out to crucify him.
Beneath the Cross, a poem by Christina Rossetti. Am I a stone and not a sheep, that I can stand, O Christ, beneath thy cross, to number, drop by drop, thy blood's slow loss, and yet not weep? Not so those women loved, who with exceeding grief lamented thee. Not so fallen Peter, weeping bitterly. Not so the thief was moved. Not so the sun and moon, which hid their faces in a starless sky, a horror of great darkness at broad noon. I, only I. Yet give not o'er, but seek thy sheep, true shepherd of the flock. Greater than Moses, turn and look once more, and smite a rock.
It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, a man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Thank you.
did long that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown, where the
early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him."
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead.
From the dead, were you there when he rose up from the dead? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead?
Please join in.
Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead?
You'll see the daffodils on the stage. I'm going to give you a little Easter homily, which I borrowed from John Chrysostom, the great Christian leader and preacher of the 4th century. Once I've concluded this, I would like each of you, kind of sacramentally, we have the bread and the wine before us, we would have had candles to light, but we're not doing that. If some of you could come forward and just pick up a vase of daffodils and come and place them over here beside where the other symbols are, just as a way of participating together in the wondrous story of the resurrection. If anyone is devout and a lover of God, let them enjoy this beautiful and radiant festival. If anyone is a grateful servant, let them, rejoicing, enter into the joy of his Lord. If anyone has wearied themselves in fasting, let them now receive recompense. If anyone has labored from the first hour, let them today receive the just reward. If anyone has come at the third hour with thanksgiving, let them feast. If anyone has arrived at the sixth hour, then let them have no misgivings, for they shall suffer no loss. If anyone has delayed until the ninth hour, let them draw near without hesitation. If anyone has arrived even at the 11th hour, let them not fear on account of tardiness. For the Master is gracious and receives the last even as the first. He gives rest to him that comes at the 11th hour, just as to him who has labored from the first. He has mercy upon the last and cares for the first. To the one he gives and to the other he is gracious. He both honours the work and praises the intention. Enter all of you, therefore, into the joy of our Lord, and whether first or last, receive your reward. O rich and poor, one with another, dance for joy. O you ascetics and you negligent, celebrate the day. You that have fasted and you that have disregarded the fast, rejoice today. The table is rich laden. Feast royally, all of you. The calf is fatted. Let no one go forth hungry. Let all partake of the feast of faith. Let all receive the riches of goodness. Let no one lament their poverty, for the universal kingdom has been revealed. Let no one mourn their transgressions, for pardon has dawned from the grave. Let no one fear death, for the Saviour's death has set us free. He that was taken by death has annihilated it. He descended into hell and took hell captive. It took a body and came upon God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw, but crumbled before what it had not seen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ is risen, and you are overthrown. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life reigns. Christ is risen and not one dead remains in a tomb. For Christ, being raised from the dead, has become the first fruits of them that have slept. To him be glory and might unto the ages of ages. Amen.
This is the
point at which the timing wasn't necessarily going to be exact. But I was enjoying just listening to the band playing a little song there, so we can listen a little longer.
Well, good morning, everybody. I trust you've had a peaceful time in here. When I saw the programme that had been put together, I was quite jealous because I knew I wouldn't get to be involved and have a time of contemplation and reflection. So we brought the kids back in, and you can sample the atmosphere that we've been enjoying for the last little while. So we've had a more, how shall we say it, chaotic contemplation of the events of Easter. And we've done an Easter egg hunt, which maybe isn't necessarily biblical, but I'm sure the Bible approves of taking exercise and exploring and using your brain and, where necessary, violence to get the correct eggs. We've also done a craft here, and I'm wondering if I can borrow this very precise craft. Okay. It's an edible craft, and Millie here has made two superb examples. We've got an Easter scene here, signifying... Oh, here's Farron. That's great. That's going to help things. Someone make sure she doesn't go through that door, please. We've got a rich tea biscuit foundation, and then some green icing, some sprinkles, and then the half-eaten jammy dodger symbolises the empty tomb
And the mini egg, which were located inside our plastic eggs, has been rolled away from the door to the tomb. So signifying that, you know, Jesus is obviously out the tomb, but also by eating the craft, then we're sort of participating in Easter in a very whole body way. So you've had a service of symbols, we've had a time of symbolism and fun. So we're now going to sing a song together, which will appear on the screen, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, and the children are going to join us for the conclusion of the service.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
I just want to thank everybody who has been involved in putting together today's programme, including the projectionist, whom I'm hoping will be able to make appear on the screen behind me the words of a creed that I want us all to stand and repeat together. So would you please all stand and say as follows: this is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and to many faithful witnesses. We believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Please remain standing for a final prayer, followed by the proclamation. Thank you, our Father, for being alive and for the reminders you've given us this morning of hope and future and a sense of the presence of Christ. We give you thanks for these youngsters who came in to the midst of this service to remind us of new life and excitement, both features that we feel when we realize, as we celebrate today like no other, that the Jesus Christ whom we seek to follow and whose example speaks to us all is alive. He's real, and he's known and can be known to each of us. We pray that as we move forward on this Easter day and into the week to come and beyond that, that something of the living Jesus will live in our hearts in a way that changes our lives, surprises us, and gives glory to God our Father. We pray this in his name. Amen. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Easter day.